All right, and it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast. It is 8 p.m. in Jerusalem, Israel. Today is June 29, 2015, and this is Ordin Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. Today we're going to go and look over many things, and in a few seconds we're going to talk also to a friend of mine that has a very bright perspective, and she knows, you know, about everything that, you know, that disturbs humankind. Because what we are witnessing right now around the globe is chaos. I'm not alerting anybody. I'm not saying, you know, something turned. I'm just saying it's a continuation and a very badly managed world. The world is not managed. There is not, in a way, you know, anybody who contributes more than America does. This is the week of the celebration of America, you know, for all what she does. And what we have to do right now, we have to worry about some bunch of terrorists who are going to ruin our party. And it's all over the globe. It's summer, and they want to, you know, change our spirit. They want to turn our spirit to dark. This is something that many leaders in the past used to say they're not going to break our spirit. And, you know, nobody can feel it and understand it until we're facing that reality of we have a situation when the spirit is needed. To win this, we need that spirit of hope, that spirit of grace, that spirit that turn us, you know, turn the page on this global chaos. And it's only a few goons, guys. Come on. We teach our children all those stories about the goon man. You know, it's like if you do something wrong, the goon is going to come and get you. And that's how they play. They are probably immature children, you know, that got grown big, and they know to get attention only with negative, you know, attention. That's the classic. But what's the plan? What they're planning to take over the world? Yeah, right. Nobody can take over. The world is over. That global, you know, craziness is over. We read it. We have a communication. You know, whoever think about it, in 2 days it will be gone because the world won't tolerate it. And it's that's the way it is. Now let's see if Ellen is on the line so she can help me some, you know, from New York side, which is the hottest place in the world. Is Ellen there with us?
I'm here, Orly. Thank you.
Oh, my sweetheart. It's so good to hear your voice. How are you?
Good to hear from you. I'm fine, and it's not as hot as it was last week, so it's not really the hottest place in the world right now.
It is. Listen, New York always will be, you know, the heartbeat of the world for us. You know, we celebrate, you know, 4th of July soon, and New York is the exclamation mark to America. So let's honor her with what she deserves. Anyway, I wanted to call upon you. You know, it's 4th of July. Happy, happy, happy anniversary, America. And you know, a lot of things are happening. Are they going to let you celebrate in America?
Well, we now have a new high alert going on. They're worried about ISIS, as they should be. But I think they're, you know, it's a day late and a dollar short on worrying about ISIS. I think we really need to motivate our government to really move fast on this, and they haven't. So it's sad.
You know, everybody's the stagnation is all over the globe because nobody wants to do wrong to anybody else. But by that, they don't do anything. You know, they just. They're freezing. You know how many negotiations are in the middle right now and nobody does nothing? The world is about to divide its gas resources, oil resources. Everything is in play right now. Everybody's positioning themselves, but, you know, nobody does anything. So don't want to blame America. It's a global symptom.
No, it's almost, it's as much as things are maybe not coincidental, but it seems very much so that this week the Parsha is Balak. And
wow.
And it's a whole, for those of you who are not really keen on the first five books of Moses, it's the story about the king of Moab who enlists the help of a wizard of sorts to try and curse the Jewish people. And along the way, God puts up barricades and hurdles, and ultimately the Jewish people are blessed. And I think, you know, we have to have a little bit of faith as we move forward, seeing so much chaos and so many people against us, and against the Western way. I think
It fell over. Nothing, you know, now nobody's safe.
And they don't
let's
want
say it.
So I would agree that while you don't want to hurt anybody, I think at the end of the day, we have to say there are good things and there are bad things, and we really need to address the bad things. And sometimes that's painful.
Yeah. It is painful, and it's sometimes it's new, because usually they shove it under the rug, nobody talks about it, and poof, it's disappear.
Well,
now that everything is open, yes.
No, it's easy for America to do that, because up until today, really 9/11, we were not fighting any wars on our own land. I think Israelis are much more keen on understanding the issues for exactly that reason.
But that's what friends are for, you know. You can call on us too. We are in, you know, any time we return the favor, we say it. We are for America. We always, always will stand up for America. This is not one way only. If you think that we are trained, you know, and we are really, really very well trained, there are people in very high, you know, knowledge that can help, you know, control the risk and terror on every basic. For example, you go into a mall in Israel, you know what, you have to show your bag, right? They check your bag. Nothing, it's simple. It costs nothing. It costs, you know, the gate. You spend so much money for decoration, put the gate and put a guard. Close the door. Start being, you know, more motivated. There is no freedom, you know, to everybody. Check in, check out, you know. Not the police, it's on their shoulder, and they need to do the tough job. The citizen needs to start being a part of the game. You know, it's not what you're going to do for me, America, right? It's no effect.
Not only that, I think Americans tend to be quite leery of anybody knowing where they are or what they do, and they're in my business, and you know, who hears me, who doesn't hear me, all of this issue about privacy, and quite frankly, there remains a big price in that arena that Americans have to be willing to pay if they don't want to be vigilant in other ways.
I understand, you know, monitoring telephones and stuff like this, yes. But I'm saying basic, you know, public places, basic shul, basic churches. You know, that guy in Israel will not have, a gunshot in the door, in the church in Charleston. In Israel, they won't have it, because they'll check him out from all over, you know. People cannot just get armed and go. You know, I love the Second Amendment to think about, you know, freedom, but please, they have to be safe. They have to be under control. If they are not under control, something, listen, we're just thinking it's a choice. You guys have the choice to just monitor better. Not, you know, nobody wants to know anything about anybody. We just want to get the goons out. You know?
Yeah, but I think Americans are not, because we're not used to that, and because immediately there's a red flag for certain people that they feel that their privacy is impeded by anybody doing any of these things. I remember long gas lines with people, you know, right after 9/11, annoyed that they had to wait in gas lines. It's Americans are impatient. They're impatient and they have short memories. So I think there's
okay,
so much in that respect.
So, you know, if you will have a
America
choice
right now, I think that there's so many things that are happening. You know, the newspaper today was full of the financial troubles in Greece. That's going
right.
to spill over, and I think we're, you know, as Jews, we're going to take a big hit in that respect, too, because when things are not good financially, we are to blame for you know, whatever.
But it's not about blaming Ellen. I think that we should not think about any kind of group to blame or to praise, because right now we're all responsible. We're all in the same boat. This is globalization. We're talking about whatever agreement we cut, you know, with every country, we are eating it, like the Chinese, you know, special status that Clinton is so keen on it, you know, that give China all the, you know, the possibility to come with no tax. That's law that came about, you know, in 94, and I don't know what they did about it. So they shove all the products in our face. That was a bad deal. Nothing we can do about it. Now let's go back.
That's not true, Orly. There is something we can do about it, but we have to each put our money where
this
our mouth
is. Impossible. This is the impossible truth, but please. this is the impossible truth. We'll
you know
say the truth.
We can do it a little.
Right. Yes, dear.
We can do it a little bit. We, you know, there's different things that we can do, and if everybody does their little bit, we
right.
can limit what's coming in. Unfortunately, I've had conversations with manufacturers of, for example, garments. Certain companies are now making their lines. They're trying to bring them back into the United States, which is really nice, especially if they're American manufacturers. We saw this with Ralph Lauren. He really took a big hit at the Olympics. And
but
now
you know,
some of his
but
line
you know,
is,
they don't let us sell in China. You cannot go and sell in China. It's not an even Steven market. You know, we need to enforce this. It's not because we don't want to buy from American manufacturer in China. We just want the Chinese to buy from America.
Yeah, but
to, you know, to allow them to
respect that, and it's we're not going to be able to do that unless we say to them, you know what, we're going to go even Stevens here, so we're not going to take your product unless you provide, and we don't have the leverage to do that because right now everything is made in China, and unless
you don't. You don't do that. You don't do that. We don't listen. In this world right now, we're all grown people. You know, we all know smart and everything. So we don't force anybody, or we don't make it, and we don't give ultimatum, because ultimatum, you know, don't work. If you want to know about something about the ultimatum, they usually break for some reason. Because. So what we want to do, we want to start negotiating again, a plan. Think about what China is doing with the resources around herself. She has so many islands, and those islands are so beautiful, and she can take over them. She plants some tree there, and she thinks it's hers. Then she takes all the gas around it or whatever there is there. And now we have she's coming to that island, where is you know, it's bigger. We're talking about you know, a condition where China is taking over resources. Now we cannot allow it, and we are not giving you our ultimatum, because what do we want to do? We want to fight them. We don't want to fight anybody. We just want them to play fair and square. And right now in Israel, they're dealing with the gas of Israel. And somebody's going to buy it, and somebody, do we know anything? No, nobody knows anything. And that's how they fill, you know, the private section fills, you know, the benefits of the public. Not because anybody let them, but because that's how they do deals. They get leverage.
Right.
So
And we're talking about really the purpose from the get-go in the United States, actually, the purpose of a responsible media is to provide the information that the population needs to make good decisions. And the population has to be educated enough in order to read or listen and evaluate what they're being told.
You started before when you talked about Balak and how trying to curse become a blessing. I wanna remind you another segment where they ask why King Saul lost the kingdom, and it's because he went to the people and wanted to ask them. The people cannot be asked; they can elect their official. They can make them their leaders, but it's up to them to make the tough decision. Because if you go to the people, that's what happens. Nothing is being done.
Well, no, you can't. I mean, you certainly can't make everybody happy. The point is that the people have to be educated enough to demand that their politicians are doing the things. That I don't want to know all the details, and I don't think anybody wants to know all the details. What I want to know is when I purchase something or when I do something, that I'm not hurting my country, and I'm not enabling another country to hurt me in the long run either. And certainly nobody can foresee the future. Who could have imagined a world like this one? But I think we have to step back and say, we have an obligation. If we're making money and we're spending money, that we have to spend our money responsibly. And that means looking at who produced it and what that country might represent to us in the long term.
So tell me, what country you think we should look again? Because from what we are saying, the only people, we have sanction over Russia. We have sanction over Iran. We have the Palestinian movement was trying to sanction Israel day in, day out. Who else? The world is sanctioning himself. And now they dropped Greece, on the floor. They cannot even pick up the pieces. Now, what are we going to do? America is the leader of the free world. Stop thinking about, just for a minute. I know America is yours as American, but you have to understand that she has a role as the policeman, as the good guy of the hill, the one that we can trust. People are looking up to America.
Our role up until maybe, a little bit, up until Reagan finished, once Reagan was out, we were clearly the policemen for the world. And a policeman is by definition a keeper of the peace, which means they have to go in and make sure that people abide by laws. Laws are created so that we all are in line, basically. After Reagan, I don't know what's happened. There were all kinds of trade agreements made. So we're dealing with that right now. I mean, they made a really bad trade agreement, but they stuck something in there in order to protect Israel a little bit. So
I don't know about Israel right now. I don't think that we're talking about deals with Israel in the middle. We're talking about NAFTA, for example, that did so bad to Mexico, ripping up the world from its resources and then coming to the table and said, oh, too bad you're broke. Well, look at Greece. Greece had to join the European Union. She was working with less, than any European. And now she had to upgrade her standard of living, paying so much, and now she's broke. Well, too bad. The European Union cannot think about the scale of stuff. We've been mixing so many subjects. We need to get a break. Let's get some music and we'll organize everything again and again. All right? And this is Orly Benny Davis on BBS Radio with The Impossible Truth. And we're back with my dear friends, Ellen Albertson, a lady, what a lady, a great woman, thinker from New York City, a woman that I'm proud to call my friend. And I want to talk about, you know, let's get everything organized, Ellen. Let's talk for a minute about the crisis of today. You know, yesterday. Today we have Greece on the table. Greece is calling help. Are we going to ignore her call? Can we do that? There is a moral value that we can say we don't care?
I think part of it is that, you know, you have a country that, unlike many of the other countries surrounding it, had a very young retirement age. People are living a whole lot longer. I mean, America is in the same boat in some ways, and people were not paying in when they had a euro. You know, the people that are collecting now as retirees are collecting euros when they once, you know, they once put in, I don't remember what the Greek money was the last time.
Drachma. Drachma. They used to call it drachma.
That's right. So you know, I think Greece may be broke, but I think the Greek people also have some responsibility in saying, wait a minute, what are we going to do? At 50 years old, I don't think it's a good time to retire. And I don't know how it could be that somebody would have such expectations either. So,
no,
you know, I don't know
enough. No, it's not about retirement. Ellen, think about not retired, but out of work, because there is no work for older people. What did Greece add to invest? She, first of all, let's recognize that she spent so much money on the Olympics. And for some reason, I see a continuation that everyone who does the Olympic usually are not well off. And the showing off, they get the country broke. We need to stop abusing. It's like going to somebody who is not well off and decided to have a party there. You know, at the world, a global party. Isn't it great? You know, let's ruin Greece now. And that's what he did. They eat everything what she had, you know, get her in debt forever. Actually, they invested. They invested, you know, to bring it. And now if you think about what Greece really consumed, that she owes so much money to everybody, you would think that it's like we are making a beneficiary dinner, and we decide, you know, to plant it on somebody who cannot afford it. I'm telling you, those rulers of the free world needs to wake up and choke those European up, because the European, you know, that joke is over. That European union, so-called, it's not something that is real. It's broken the, you know, the country in pieces. What did it do for the people?
I think, you know, first of all, you have to remember that it was easier for somebody who was unemployed to go work in Germany. So Germany now doesn't have the money. So one of the exports of Greece was manpower, but now the manpower is not needed. When the drachma was cheaper than everything else, any of the handmade items, which is, you know, most of what they contributed, it was a very cheap market. Today, there's nothing, I don't think, outside of tourism that's coming out of Greece. So I think it's incumbent, actually, on the rest of the European Union to take a broader look. And do we let Greece languish? No, I don't think so. And I think that's what the International Monetary Fund is set up to do, to
absolutely
try and...
They have to. And you know what? Something that I learned, because, you know, in Israel, it's great. You know everything about everybody. I knew that the Greeks wanted from Germany some recompense. You know, they want to be compensated for the Second World War. You know, I didn't hear it on the news, but I know for a fact that they went to negotiate with the Germans. They went and they asked them for their, you know, you owe me money. You destroyed most of the world, you know, Europe and probably Greece too. And she owes us tons of money. And the Germans say no. They decided that I paid the dues, you know. So we have a bully who actually owes money. And who is paying the bill is Greece. You know, the world needs to come together and start putting everybody in their places, because I know you're Germany, but you have such a record. I know you're China, but you have so much to consume, so you need to divide the rest of the good with the rest. You know, America cannot carry the load all by itself, and Israel cannot keep everybody from, you know, from whispering in case, you know, they start to bombing. We cannot watch over a child in Gaza if they're shooting missiles. You know, that's what I say. It's absurd if everything is going on.
I think this actually takes us to an important international subject that has been ignored for a very long time. We have refugees everywhere, and this is what the German issue comes to, and it's what the issue in Gaza comes to, and it's the issue of the Jews of Arab nations, because they had to flee. You know, we all have so many refugees all over the place. We have Sudan, we have, everybody.
We have Syria. Let me tell you, very...
100,000
just now. Ellen, today they stopped the ship that was on the way to Gaza to help with the humanitarian goods. So the message from Israel said, guys, you're missing the boat. It's Syria. It's not Gaza. You know, humanitarian boat. What do you try to pick a fight with Israel when, you know, there are so many devastated people in Syria?
Right. But, well, I think, Orly, that's really, really got to do with deep-seated, worldwide, global anti-Semitism, and it's very easy to camouflage your anti-Semitic sentiments by blaming Israel. And it's being done on campuses across North America too. It's very dangerous for students. So this is like, yeah, if there were really human rights activists, they would be out there for Sudan and for Syria, and there's so many places. And it's not
right.
Gaza, because if you look at Gaza, you can see, yes, there are poor people. There are poor people everywhere. In the whole world, there's no place where everybody's wealthy, except for maybe Saudi Arabia. I'm not even sure of that. But there's different classes of people, but there are also millionaires, a great many millionaires living off the fat of the land in Gaza as well. And it's to their benefit to keep this.
Well, and they got a $5 billion promise, you know, so they're not moving until the money comes. You know, because the people are supposed to reconstruct. Anyway, Ellen, I'm going to salute you now because I got so much material prepared. And, you know, time and news is essential. I cannot play it next week, let's say. So I love you so much. I bless you, and I hope you have a wonderful 4th of July. And send all my love to New York and all our friends, because I hope you got to have the best celebration ever, because you all deserve it. You all, and if you need some help, don't be shy to call upon us, okay?
Okay, thank you, Orly.
Bye, sweetheart. Bye, Ellen. Let's get some music, and we'll be right back. And we're going to go and listen to John Bolton, what he has to say in this, you know, in those important days. We really want to start with, you know, our anchors, real political anchors, and John Bolton is one of it. So let's have him for a minute, and we'll talk. We'll be right back.
Well, this outcome, this report, I think was completely predictable. The UN Human Rights Council is no different from its predecessor, the discredited Human Rights Commission. The new council, 10 years old now roughly, has spent the overwhelming bulk of its time criticizing Israel, even after the Obama administration had the U.S. Join the council. It's had no impact. All of that was predictable as well. So when the Human Rights Council decides it's going to investigate a conflict in which Israel is involved, you can write the report in advance. This is a circumstance that happens again and again and again, and this is simply one more example of it. The fact is that the report ignores all of the many, many steps that Israel took, well in excess of the requirements of international law, to confine its activity to military objectives, to protect innocent civilian populations, to do everything it could to minimize collateral damage. The cause of the damage that did take place was the result of the Hamas strategy of concealing its military activities in civilian locales and using civilians as shields. You can go through this episode by episode that the report recounts, and there's simply no other explanation than that this is another example of the pervasive U.S. bias against Israel. I think he believes that the Palestinians have been
And we're back, and you know, that, it's old news, guys. You know, there, we have the United Nations concentrating on bombing Israel. They don't see anything. I don't think why they should exist. I know Ban Ki-moon really, Mr. Ban Ki-moon really got out and he was mad. But too bad, darling, if you don't make a kind of, you know, investigation about the missile that you know that UNRWA was watching, if you don't get, you know, shoved with a really big lawsuit against the United Nations that she's actually doing war crimes, you know, hey, we have another organization that's making human, you know, war crime. That's United Nations by passing missiles to terrorists to shoot on Israel. So let's you know that report is a copycat of the rest of the work you're doing. So let's liberate New York from that facility. There, that building could be, you know, we could build a lot of beautiful stuff over there. It's really, they need to go. It's a lot of place. We have we'll put them where you know. Don't let me start. All right, this was about John Bolton. Thank you so much for getting this News 7 from Israel. It was important. Let's go on and listen to the Sean Connery. We have something else, or maybe Gary Moore.
Recently, the world was shocked by the murders of three men. Three men who had come together with the same vision of how to combat the immutable forces which seem bent on dragging the world into Holocaust. One of these men was my predecessor and good friend, the Minister of State from Saudi Arabia, Mahdi al-Taleb. I would like to speak for him and in his memory. If those who caused his death did so in the belief that they were destroying the ideals, the principles for which he stood, they were wrong. His assassination has failed. Mahdi al-Taleb worked toward an Arab world united, where none should thirst, where none should go naked, where none should starve. He worked toward a world where each of our brothers might rise up each day, though his home be the desert, and clothe himself in dignity. This he worked for and fought for. He believed that the cohering principle of human existence was peace. And so he was murdered. His murderers, as we all know, sit among us here. I address you now. You have failed. You have destroyed flesh, only that. That is your triumph and your dilemma. For how do you kill a dream? The dreamer, yes. The dream, never. The dream survives. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, was established when we had no other way to convince the world to take us seriously. and to combat the oil cartel which has raped the Middle East for half a century. We were forced to speak with a corporate voice and present a unified front. This voice is now confused. It speaks in dark places, arranges arms deals, political, economic blackmails, terrorist raids, chooses sides, draws lines, and we lurch towards Holocaust. My country cries enough. My country calls for a new global, social, political contract. And if that means abandoning OPEC, we are prepared to do so. We will enter into partnership with any country for the research and development of new sources of energy. I call for a direct dialogue with Israel so we can create a Palestinian state with men of goodwill at a conference table and not from the debris of exploded villages and human life. Saudi Arabia will no longer contribute to the hostility between Arab and Israeli.
Somebody better throw a net over.
Give him a month. A week. On November 14th, 1974, here before the United Nations General Assembly, a man came out of the Holy Land, and he said...
All right. What the man said about the Holy Land. He said, you know, man, when I come before you, I come with oil, olive branch in one hand and a gun, a shotgun on the other one. Please don't let me drop the olive branch. That's what the Prime Minister of Israel said. And the United Nations, and sure enough, they didn't even, you know, jitter. They didn't care. None of them. League of Nations did care when Brits were in charge. But oh God, if they care, United Nations now. So we are John Bolton, and this was Sean Connery from a movie about Arabia Saudite, you know, and dialogue with Israel. I think that by accepting a peace agreement on terms, it means that you're accepting peace. But the terms need to be established. So I think that we need to just start the dialogue there because you're the big mama, you know. And we need you in charge too. Iran been talking to everybody. Like, hoo ha, what a great dealer she is. And she thinks she's wonderful. She's got putting, you know, the weight, all the weight on America. You have to sign. No, we don't have a signed agreement with you, Iran. Or whatever it is, we'll still have it in place. So don't feel so strong. And if you have to delay a few days, delay, please, guys. Don't think that, you know, we need to do everything in a rush. Right now, rush is no good. Rush is no good. All right, let's get some Gary Moore so we can get the spirit up, because I want your spirit to be up, because that's the war that we're fighting to get our hope back fast and great. All right, and we're back. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have so much time to give Gary Moore all the respect he needs, but his music is excellent. And trust me, I found some other music lately that I'm saying, oh, the universe is speaking to me. That's wonderful. I'm saying the music is speaking to me as always. I love it. I love to hear a good musician play the guitar, the piano, the saxophone. I love that. I think that it's the most awesome, glorious place, you know, to give, or gift to give to others. And sure enough, art and all is, you know, incredible, incredible relief that makes us happy. Now, talking about art, love, music, and really beautiful things, I want to remind you that Wednesday we have a show. It won't be on the same 8 p.m. like we have here. It will be 1 hour earlier. It means that we're going to be at 7 p.m. Jerusalem time. It means 12 p.m. in the East Coast and 9 a.m. in the West Coast. So Wednesday, guys, if you want some Italian music and you want to talk about the places in Italy that you visited and you love to go back, or to that fountain, you know, that you drop a coin and she made you come back and you said, oops, I don't know how it happens, but I did get to go back. So Wednesday at 9 a.m. West Coast and 7 p.m. Jerusalem. All right. Then we have to think about something else now. It's the anniversary of of America. Say Israeli and America is the same thing for me sometimes. We want to bless America. I want to say hello to all my American friends and tell them happy 4th of July. And the routine is like this, you know, when I grew up in Israel, not so many years, because most of my life I've been in America, or Italy, I don't know. That's life of mine, I guess. But now, thinking about the way you behave in public places, just keep your eyes open. Don't kick anything in the open. Look at, you know, make sure that they don't leave anything abandoned. Get some activity. Be aware. That's all. Yeah, and you pass it all, you know, with God's blessing. We'll pray for you, and we hope that celebration and a lot of fireworks everywhere. So just keep it. And just make sure that they know that if anybody gets caught even planning something, it'll pay the price. This is America you're talking about, and this is the world, the free world we're talking about, and we want America of ours happy, because she did so much for us all over the years, and her celebration is our celebration. So as long as America's strong, we all strong. And no kidding, this is the reality. You know, wake up. Good morning, California. Anyway, so let's get some more music and see what we have after. All right, we're almost done. It'll be a few minutes and we'll be saluting you. All right, that was a big thank you for my beloved America. You guys, be well. I really love you. I'm so sorry about the 100 people forced to evacuate, you know, after wildfire spread in Washington Sunday night, I guess. And at least dozen of them were destroyed. You see why nothing is worth fighting for? Because it's fire. Fire can destroy. We need to get a page to the same, a continuation. When we understand that those people need now shelter and help, we need to take care of them, and we need to do the right thing. But we need to do the right thing, all the shelter, all the kids. Come on. I'll tell you a story, a very sad story, before we go. And I'll make you think about it, because I don't tell anybody what to do. I'm nobody to tell it. Well, I'm greatly Orly Benny Davis, but I am fake directing by somebody. But let's say Japan. Japan, yesterday I saw the commentary about so many houses and schools ready for the children to come. Ready, all computers, all things. But in Japan, there are not any children in the last few years. Their devastation is that they're diminishing by a quarter of a mil a year. This is horrible. Now, nobody asks if it's going to be about, the nuclear. But let's assume that it might be, okay? You cannot exclude. Let's not be critical. Oh, yeah, we're not blaming it. Probably nature and its creation did not foresee a nuclear explosion with new babies. What do you think? Nature is much smarter. And I thank her, salute her, and I know how it is. You know, maybe Japanese think that they can live with the nuclear waste. That maybe they can, but more production did not happen. So what are we going to do now? First of all, we have to have real thing, because now we have a situation that it's like aggravated. We don't know how many people got hurt. And if they are wonderful and everything, we need to make sure that they get all the help they need. Okay? Now, all those children that are in shelters everywhere, you know, there are so many, many refugees that run around and nobody watch for them, and if they don't have a father, a big chief to escort them, elsewhere. They can be vanished in the slavery world, but we don't know, want to know anything about it. The underworld that happens someplace in dark places. Let's come on. Let's free this world from this shackle. Let's free these children. You got empty houses in Japan. Those are wounded kids. They are orphans. Get some, you know, ship some. I don't know. Take care of them. We don't say forever. We say just until. Get them out of their conflict. I don't know if it's smart, but I know that they'll be really feeling better not to be near a bomb shelter all day long. And about us, we just want to wish America happy birthday. We'll be here Wednesday, too. Thank God. And we'll talk more about it. But I want you to keep your chin up. Remember, you're American, and the American spirit is really strong. And I know Rihanna had a wonderful song that I thought I sent, but we'll find it for the next one, for the 4th of July. Guys, I love you so much. I hope that you remember there is a God, and it's not us. And we need to be all worthy of his blessing and grace. And if you want forgiveness, let's forgive the others. And I love you all. And, you know, Charleston, South Carolina, may you recover fast, and may we all live in peace. And South Carolina, bravo for the Confederate flag, because it was about time. All right, so I'm going to leave you with some music and with a lot of love. And God bless you all. This is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth on BBS Radio.